Amen. We give an invitation, go home. Amen. God bless you. That was so good. God's wondrous love. Amen. Well, the pastor's asked Brother Parsons to bring the message to us this morning, so come preach to us. Amen.
Take your Bibles and go to Exodus chapter number 32 today. Exodus chapter 32. It is my great pleasure to stand in this place and to preach again. And I know that you didn't come to hear me, but you came to hear from the Word of God. And that's where we're going this morning. Amen. It is my great pleasure to stand in the pulpit, and I'll ask you to do some unconventional things today, and I pray you'll just stay with me. We're going to turn to a few passages of the Scripture today, amen? And I'll ask for forgiveness right now, and off the cuff, the guys think they've moved and made an aisle for me here. The last time I preached in chapel, something crazy come over me, and I took off on the top of the pews, amen? And turned around and came back. And so they asked me if I planned to do that so they could move and get out of my way, because half of them thought I was going to fall on them last time. But I was safe and made it through. But I cannot promise that I won't run or do something that is unconventional today. And I do love this book and I love this place. Can I say this today, that I'm going to preach a message if the Lord laid on my heart, and I believe is his message to you today, is declaring allegiances. Declaring allegiances for the tape room. I'll repeat it because they're slow up there. Declaring allegiances. Amen. It gave me a wireless mic that the door flaps open on. And so if I take off to running and I get quiet, it's because I threw my batteries on the way out and I lost power. Amen. But I love this place. A long time ago, my wife and I were looking for the Lord's will in our life, and we were looking for a church that love this book and love the Lord and train young people. And I wasn't so young, but they loved me anyway. Man, it had me. And I do appreciate it. And I raised my kids here. And then y'all chose me back. Amen. And had me come back and work here. And it's been a pleasure. And you do have my allegiance. All right. And I want to talk about that because I believe we live in a day and age where allegiance is misunderstood and it's definitely misplaced. I believe we live in a day where people believe that they would stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance, but they don't do what they say. They're used to saying words, but they don't live it out in their lives. And so I'd like to pray. And then when we finish prayer, I'd like for you, I want to remind you what true allegiance is in your life. And I believe that I'm amongst a group of Americans that are not afraid. So after I pray, I'd like for you to stand with me and say the Pledge of Allegiance, if you would. All right. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I do thank you for your many blessings, dear God, and I thank you for this place. And I pray, Lord, I tell you again that I give you everything that I am, all of it. I submit everything that I am to you, God. Use me. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you wouldn't let me stand in this place by myself. Oh, God, would you use just everything that I am to be your messenger boy to deliver the unsearchable riches of Christ. Help me to do what I know my preacher would do and what he wants to do this morning. He would deliver the unsearchable riches of Christ to a lost and dying world. I pray that you would encourage the saint that's here today to step up and do more for you through your word. I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me and cover your heart? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you so much. You can be seated. In the same way that we would pledge our flag, we could stand and pledge our Bible. And we do that in our Christian school, in our chapels, and we would cover our heart with our hand. And in the same way, we say, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want to tell you today that we've lost our allegiances. We live in a day and age. I grew up in a day and age where the Cold War was raging. It was not a war where it was fought on battlefields, but it was a war nonetheless. It was a war where there were spies infiltrating different countries. There were people in our government spent as much on the Cold War as it did on any other war that came before it. And it was a war nonetheless. I believe if you were watching the news and you say, Brother Parsons, I don't believe that you should preach on politics. Obviously, you do not know where you are. And so, all right, so just buckle up if that problems you, all right? So just let me tell you that we live in a turmoiled world of people that would say one thing, that they love this country, but then they do things to tear it apart. They do things to undermine its constitution. They do things to tear it apart. But in the same way, and I want you to be able to balance these things today, we're going to go to a place in the Bible where the same type of people would pledge their allegiance to an almighty God. And just like you and I in this spiritual battle that we live in every day, it may seem like a cold war to you, but the war still rages on. The devil is still working. He's still after people, and he's still after your family and your lives. Just because you've asked Jesus to come into your heart doesn't mean that the battle is over. The war rages on. And I want to tell you today that just like any other day, it's good for us to stand up and declare our allegiance to who we fight for what we fight for, and whom we fight it for. And I believe that everything that we are ought to be caught up. Sometimes we get lax, or we forget that there's a battle raging. I knew that there were people, and we would call them liberals, and my preacher would call them some other things. But I'll just stop with that today, because Brother Burke took too much of my time. I'm just kidding. All right, so it was really Brother Perkins. Anyway, so, but it sounded better with Brother Burke. Anyway, so we battle in this life whether we believe it or not. And if you live for Christ and you stand up for Him, the devil will find where you are, and he will trouble your life. If everything goes as peaches and creams, you may not be in the battle, or it may be a cold war on your front. But nonetheless, there are those that are sneaking in unawares and trying to tear apart the church, the family, the home, and again, everything that's moral and right in our day. It's been going on for age. Every age has had this battle. Every place has ever been for God has stood up against it. They tried to stand up against the book, the blood, and the blessed hope through all the ages and tried to undermine and tear it to pieces. And it's time that we stood up and declared our allegiance to the things that we believe. And not just say it like we do to our flag, but live it with our lives. And if it necessary, our lives and our blood. Amen, Brother Parsons. Boy, when we get down to really where the rubber meets the road sometimes, in word, we're for it. But when it costs us something, that's when we divert. And that's no different than the people that are in this text. We live in a day and age on a spiritual realm, and on that front, listen, let me go back to our political whims. Do you realize what's on our front and what Putin has said this week and what's going on? We are headed for another Cold War, whether you believe it or not. We got a president that's got a backbone. The reason we haven't had a Cold War all this time is because we've had lace-panted a bunch of leaders who did not care about this place and putting this place first and wouldn't defend you. They'd turn it over to somebody else if it really had a fight come to it. But now we've got a man in the White House. I hope he's God, man, but he's a man nonetheless. And he's not afraid to tell the sorry bum people out there, liberals, and also the news media, that they're not only fake, but they're against this, what this country was founded on, and that we're heading in a different direction. And listen, you ought to declare an allegiance. I'm not talking to the presidents, but some of the things that he stands for. Don't cower back when a bunch of people stand up and say, oh, you're a Trump lover. I'm a freedom lover. I'm a lover of America. I'm a lover of everything that is decent and right that this country was built upon. And I'll stand up and declare my allegiance to it. Hey, but Christian, in the same way, we ought to stand up and declare who we love and whom we serve and what we do, not just be cowering in a corner with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Exodus 32, and I better preach because I promised you I would. Amen. Let me define allegiance as you're turning there. I better be there as well. Declaring our allegiance, the 1828 dictionary defines allegiance this way: the obligation of a subject to the duty and fidelity to a king, government, or a state. That means that, I mean, our pure honor, everything that we are is due to that whom we serve as a nation. Now, You say, Brother Parsons, I'm a pilgrim passing through this old place. I'm a citizen of another country. So am I, friend. I got on board a long time ago. I got a place prepared for me. But right now, I reside in the greatest country on earth. Amen. Until Jesus comes and transports me out. But you know, that good old 1828 dictionary took care of us as aliens as well. And we have a few other aliens as well here with us in our country. But it defines this. See if you can find this with the liberal media. Local or temporary allegiance is due from an alien to the government or state in which he resides. That means if you're just passing through or you're hanging out, stand up and put your hand on your heart anyway. Amen, because there are men that died for that flag and paid for the freedom that you reside and so enjoy while you're here. Every time you eat a Big Mac with bacon, you need to stand up and put your hand on your heart because somebody paid for you to have a free country where you could go and come and not stop at the border of every state and have it all broken to pieces. Bless God, we ought to stand up. And in the same way, we ought to stand up for Jesus. Listen, there's somebody that came from heaven and paid on Calvary for my sin and for your sin so that we could leave this place one day. Amen. And that this country wouldn't be the greatest place that I've ever resided. This country that's lost its mind would not be the place that I hold dearest in my heart, but there's another place that's prepared for me. It's on the other side of glory. Amen. I look forward to the day that I'll get to go, but I want to say this. If you wanted a second title to the message, a calmer one. I'm just kidding. Who's on the Lord's side is what Moses called it. See, I believe that for every Christian, any time that there's a separation among ideals, among beliefs, there has always come a time when a line has been drawn in the sand and men will say, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the side of right when we come to our country? Who's on the side of the Constitution, we could call it? Can I tell you this morning, listen, we're going to read about in Exodus 32 where Moses drew a line in the sand. Things, morality had been, I mean, the law of God had been broken. They had fallen off. They had done some things. And they had made allegiance to a God and then forgot their allegiance. I want you to look at it with me in Exodus 32, and I want you to see here, we'll begin reading in verse 26, if you would with me. Moses, we'll do some background if I have time in just a moment, but I want to read this to kind of preface who's on the Lord's side, and then we'll run like a rabbit. All right, go back, if you would. I want to just give you just a hint of why Moses has to draw a line in the sand. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. I want you to see this. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. You say, Brother Parsons, that sounds awful rough. If you read the next verse, you'd realize that they killed 3,000 men that day. Because a man of God had to stand up and draw a line in the sand and say who is on the Lord's side. Let me make mention here before we go on, and I give you the history of the book of Exodus up until this point. But let me say, only one tribe is listed that stood on the Lord's side. Only one tribe out of 12 is listed that when the call was made, who is on the Lord's side? Only one tribe came over. That means there were 11 that were on the other side. The great thing that ponders and gets me here is, was it that everybody else just didn't hear? Or was it that everybody else just didn't care? I say, Brother Parsons, what do you mean? Well, I want to give you some background here. If you would, if you'll just listen to me, and we're going to turn some passages here. In the book of Exodus, I want you to see this. He starts off, if we were to look at chapters 1 through 12, we'd see that the beginning of this book, we see God raise up a man. And that man is Moses, and he loves his people, and he wanted to deliver them. He had made promises to them. He had made promises to their heritage, to their people in the past, that he would revisit them and take care of them and bring them to the land. Every place that Abraham's foot had ever touched, he told him he would give it to them. And so God was keeping his promises, and he was doing it through a man like he does even in our day. He raises somebody up to work through in that place, and you can look too. And listen, I'm here to tell you that God raised up a man in Moses, and he brought him to this place, and all of a sudden, all through, these people consented to leave with Moses, and finally, Egypt wasn't consenting to that, and Pharaoh didn't want any of that, and God, through his mighty power, showed not only his people, but the Egyptians who was boss, and he had plague after plague after plague. He pounded them until finally they relinquished the power they had over his people and turned them over, and they left loving their God, and they went out, and then God began to gather them in the wilderness. And listen, and Egypt followed them, and if it wasn't enough power, they thought that they could take over and do something to God's people after all those plagues, and they chased them to the Red Sea. And God had taken them. And even in your life, you may find places in your life that seem like a red crossing experience. It's too much for you. I can't get through this. How in the world could we ever take the government on? How could we ever battle these lesbian crowd and gay crowd? How could we ever stand up? They're not that big, friend. They just got big mouths. And it's time God's people stood up and we declared our allegiance to who we stand with. These sodomites don't. Listen, I'm here to tell you, they have got a big mouth and they stand in front of cameras, and you and I, we cower behind our Bible or in our place or behind our tracts, and we don't stand up and say, that's not right. That's not only sin, but the Bible calls it an abomination. Listen, and that is not the only sin that we ought to be preaching against. There's a lot of people that are double-tongued in our government that'll say one thing and do another, and the thing that God's people ought to do is get up, stand up, speak out, and vote them out. Amen. You say, well, he's a pretty good man. He's kind of conservative. God's got, what did he tell his prophet? I got 7,000 more men over here. You think that's the only politician that we could find? If we started getting rid of some of them, we could find some good ones. Amen. Some that would stand up for God and not hide by the river. Amen. We could get some, and if we almost got them out, I guarantee you they'd get some backbone and do something we want them to do, because we'd vote them out the next time. Hey, man, declare our allegiance. Here Moses is. He brings the people out, and he says, let's stand still and watch God, what he can do. And he parted the Red Sea. God stepped in and parted the Red Sea. And the people went across on dry ground, and he drowned all those Egyptians. And you say, man, then God's people stood and sang of how good God was. Moses wrote a song that's recorded in our Bible for that day and that moment. It's been sung by God's people throughout all the ages. And that people, then as they continue on in the chapters, they find their way going through and they get into the wilderness. And God, listen, they start complaining. Do you know what I notice about God's people? Can I tell you this? Listen. Me included. I'm not just preaching at you. Come on now. I had to get this message myself before I got here. Amen. But we like to complain when we got it really good. When God has delivered us from sin, he's delivered us from slavery, he's taken us out of the world and all the problems, he set us on a good path and a good ground and gave us the church and people that love us in that place. Man, we will nitpick God's best to pieces. God help, this place here is not a perfect place, but this is one of the best ones you'll ever find in all Amen. The world. And it ain't perfect because you're here. Amen. It's because I'm here too. But it doesn't keep me from, listen, I know the country that I live in is not perfect. But it doesn't stop me from declaring my allegiance for it and trying to make it better and make it better and make it better and get it back where it used to be. Can I tell you today, we live in a Christian life that's so much like these Israelites going through the desert. I mean, they were headed through the wilderness, and as they came up to Sinai, God had taken care of them with manna. God, they complained about water. God took care of water. I mean, they complained about everything. They complained about manna. God gave them birds to eat. He gave them quail. look, can I tell you, chicken is good, amen. And so he brought them all the way through all these things. And now they come to a place where they sit down. And I want you to turn some scriptures with me now. And I'm going to give you some points. And I hope you'll be able to take some of this from. But they accepted some and gave their allegiance to God in several different ways. Look at it with me if you would. If you turn back to chapter 19, I want to show you as we come up to chapter 32, the history of what's happened. We brought us all the way up through the Red Sea. They've come through the manna. They've come through all this time. Now God begins to tell his people what he'll do for them. You see, God didn't take it for granted. Can I tell you, just because your mom and daddy said that they would live for God, God's not going to make you do that. Even though God did, you know, my parents, I grew up on a bus route and my parents never got that. But you know, my kids, I brought my kids down at a very young age and I dedicated my children unto the Lord. But God's not going to hold my kids to the promise that I made. God's looking for them to make some vows to him. God's looking for them to make some commitments. I couldn't bring my kids down and get them baptized and get them saved. They don't work that way. I know there's a bunch of places, and we ought to stand up against them too. There's a bunch of false places that had preached doctrine that's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. You say, what's the measuring stick? The Bible. That ought to have our allegiance. Can I tell you today, listen, that group, they come to this place, and they get with God. And in verse 1, look at it. He says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt. How long had they been gone now? 3 months. That's like 800 years in landmark years, all right, when you're here working, all right? So I'm just kidding a little bit. But anyway, so in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land. That's what most of you stay here about that long, right? Let me go on. All right. We're gone forth out of the land of Egypt. The same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephaim. I know I messed that one up. And were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mount, saying, thus shalt thou say unto the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you as eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will. Does that sound like a command to you? God says, now therefore, if ye will. God's delivered them. God's brought them out. God's made them free. God's brought them to a place, just like the Christian life. He's brought them to a place where now they make a choice. He'll save you. He's already paid for it. All you got to do is accept him by faith. Listen, he's brought you out of the miry clay and set you upon a solid rock in your life. Now God will say, hey, you want to know what happens in a church service like this? God says, I want more than just to save you and just to bring you out of your troubles and your trials. I want you. Listen, God wants you to bring him glory. And he's never going to force himself on anybody. God's never going to force himself into your life. God says to them, listen, now therefore, if ye will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my commandment, then ye shall be able, look, peculiar treasure. Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. See, God had made commands already in the past. God had made commands to their fathers, and God just simply says, if you'll do this, I'll make a promise to you. I promise every generation that came before you. I've talked to everybody else, but you know, somehow it disconnects with God's people that we think, listen, we do it off of duty or we do it out of other things, but it's time that it got serious and it got personal to us, that we declare our allegiance to God, and he's going to ask them to do that here. He said, how about you? I asked Abraham, and Abraham became my friend, and he did. I asked Isaac, and Isaac followed me. He wasn't perfect, but he made a choice and he lived for me. I asked old Jacob and I changed his name because he was so sorry. I made him Israel and I built the nation that you came out as today. He said, how about you? I don't care what tribe you're from. I don't care what people group you're from. I want to know if you love me. I want to know if you'll serve me. He asked him that. He wants to declare allegiance. Look at verse 6, and ye shall be unto me God gives them a promise. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Boy, I'm looking forward to that day, friend. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children. Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered. Did it say some of the people? It said all the people answered. Look, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Can I tell you today, listen, they made a commitment. They made a contract. They pledged their allegiance to an almighty God that day. Everything that the Lord asks us to do, I'll do. I believe I'm in a really good church today. I know where I'm at. I would venture to say there's very few people that arrived here in this building that have never had a time in their life, whether you did it at the altar or whether you did it in your seat, that you, under the preaching of God's word, you made a commitment to do all that God ever asked you to do. And I ask you this, and I'm not trying to be hard. I just want to know. I want to help you. Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you obedient? Why aren't you stepping out and doing what God's asked you to do? Well, Brother Parsons, well, we're good at excuses, aren't we? These people are going to get real good at it. Say, well, the preacher wasn't there one Sunday, so I didn't come back for three. God help us. I don't remember that requirement being in the book for you being faithful. Well, you know, I had this happen. I started tithing in my finances. The bottom dropped out. It wasn't God's fault. I promise you that one. God's faithful. He'll give you everything back you give to him. He's good like that. I'm not preaching prosperity. I'm just preaching the truth. The Bible says that the windows of heaven open give you everything back. But the one place God wants to know where you robbed him is your tithes and offerings. He's good. He's a good God. But you know, sometimes we'll overextend ourselves and then we want to tithe and tell God, God, you can fix it. Now that I've overextended myself, I'll tithe and then God will get me out of it. You can't blame that on God. You did that to yourself. Don't blame that on God. Everybody on the radio can hear me. Don't blame that on God. Amen. Then look at chapter 24 with me, if you would. Chapter 24. We see this thing progresses. All this between chapter 19 and 24 is God laying out what they said. They said, we will do exactly what you say. And we don't have time to read chapter 20. That's a pretty good list of not having any gods before me. I mean, it's a pretty good list of things that God wanted them to do. But he didn't just stop there. I mean, he goes through every bit of it. You know, I mean, he laid out what he wanted them to have feasts. He wants them to do all these things. And God lays all these things out that they promised to do. They had given their allegiance. And then look at chapter 24 and verse 3. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. So God brings them, listen, God even, he, so now, you know how it is, presumptuous? I'm one of those, I'm skeptical. Are you a skeptical person? We've had to do some things. Me and Brother Bob had to read some contracts in the past, and you know, this is like a 5-year deal. I want to read it. I want to know what's in there. I don't want to sign or give my allegiance before I know what I'm signing up for. But you realize what these people did? God said, I'm going to ask some things of you, but I've showed myself pretty good. God is such a good God. You know he loves you. He's paid for your sins. He's done all that. So you accept him at face value. God, I'll take you as my own. I give you my allegiance. And then some of you afterwards, when the preacher started preaching about how you ought to dress, how you ought to live, where you ought to stay away from, what you ought not listen to, the places you ought to not go down to, the movie house. I mean, you know, the good stuff. I mean, when the preacher gets riled up and starts throwing songbooks at you, amen, to wake you up, gets the squirt gun out. You ain't been in one of them services? Amen. Amen. Can I tell you? Listen, you say, whoa, 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 I didn't sign up for all that. Well, God's got that covered, ain't he? Here, these people said, I will do whatever you want me to do, God. Whatever you say, I'll do it. Then God says it, and he said, all right, I'm going to check with Moses. Now that I've told you what is expected of you, now give me your allegiance. I'll do all the commands of God. You know what these people did? Moses, we will do all that the Lord has commanded. How about you? I believe we got a good group of people in here today that would say, not only did I surrender before I knew what was entailed and say, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. But then when the preacher got up and preached the good word of God and laid out some standards from my life and some dress standards, I'm looking out at a crowd that's dressed up for church. You know, that's the oddity in the day and age we live. Most people don't dress up for God anymore. You say, Brother Parsons, show me that in the book. Well, do you honor him? Hey, can I tell you today, listen, there's some standards that have been lost by the wayside. And let me stop and say this. I heard a preacher say this in chapel the other day, and I like it, so I'm going to say it in here. Amen? Amen. Do you know that we think that everybody is flocking to drums and rock and roll and all these things, but do you know what the three fastest growing religions are today? It's not the rock and roll bands. They're fundamental religions, fundamentalist. They're fundamentally wrong, but they're fundamentalist. The Muslim crowd is growing faster than any other religion. The JWs are growing faster than any other religion. And the Mormons are growing faster than any other religion. Guess who they're getting them from? A lot of Baptist churches that decided to bring drums and decided to play the rock and roll music. You say, well, it looked like they swole up. Yeah, it's the same thing that happens. It doesn't make any sense to me if you have a Rite Aid on this corner. You all been this where? Some of you are from the north, so you know what Rite Aid is. All right, Walgreens. All right, I was trying to help the northern crowd. Okay, Walgreens. All right, Walgreens. And then this one's been built for 10 years, so nobody goes there anymore. But they will build the same Walgreens on the opposite side of the street and close this one. And that one, everybody wants to go see what's in there. For a while, I'm going to get all my prescriptions there because it's new. Do you know that's all that crowd's doing, hopping church to church to church to see what the new thing is out there? How about if you just stick with the old thing? How about if you just stick with the old commandments of God and do what God wants you to do? Now, I know it's time, and I promise you I'm going to head towards the end, all right? But I told you, Brother Perkins, to call my time earlier, all right? Now, come with me. I'm going somewhere. I want you to declare your allegiances. So this group here, they've not only committed to God, but now they've committed to the commandments of God. Not only their allegiance in that, but allegiance in his commandments. Now we see them get corrupted in their worship. I want you to see something now. Before we leave the chapter and I ask you to turn, look at chapter 24 and verse 18. He says, and Moses went into the midst of the cloud, because now Moses is going up on the mount, and got him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. All right, now everything that's going to happen from here to chapter 32, that's the mark we're going to make. They're going to say Moses was gone for a long time, 40 days. 40 days, he was gone in the mount, and all this other stuff transpires. Now go to chapter 32 with me, and we'll run for the finish line. We'll head home. Not yet. All right? Chapter 32. Now we read here in verse 21, if you'll look at it with me. Now let me set the stage because of our time's sake. Moses is up in the mountain getting table of stones from God and the people. They go to Aaron and they say to Aaron, and most of you have heard this story before, but let me lay it out for those that don't know because they'll miss something here. Aaron is God's priest He's heard all the things. He knows all the things that are wrong. He's made his allegiances, and he's done all the things that all the other people did. He was in there going, everybody want to do the will of God? Me too. Amen. Aye. Then the people, 40 days has passed, and their man of God was gone. Up in the mount. The mount is still rumbling and smoking, and lightning is flashing, and all the things, the work of God is still going on. The word of God is being penned by the finger of God in tables of stone. And the people that had declared their allegiance stabbed God in the back. And they go to Aaron and say, we don't know what in the world happened to this Moses. He's been gone forever. I don't know when the last time he was here. We ain't had worship service. We ain't had nothing yet. All these things, man, he's gone 40 days. We need a new God. God is gone. Do you know what most of these people lacked? And if I could take you through the scripture, I wish I could take you through it and show you that every time God wanted to be personal with his people, one time God spoke to the people and he brought Moses up and they said, look, he's terrifying. He's scary. We'll just talk to you, Moses. You go and talk to God. You have a relationship with God for us. See, I'm afraid that we declare our allegiances, and sometimes it's only to the preacher and not to God's word. Sometimes we declare our allegiances just to our friends or what they like. We declare our allegiances not to good old-fashioned Bible doctrine that never changes, that will be around when Jesus is returned. Listen, some of us even give our allegiance to a pew and we'll fight anybody if they sit in that place. But here these people come to a place now where 40 days and they're ready to throw off everything that they accepted. They've seen God deliver them. They've seen the mighty hand of God part the waters and kill the Egyptians. They've seen God not only powerfully take care of them, but supply for them in the wilderness and had manna and food. And because of 40 days of not having the man of God with them, they jump ship. They say, Aaron, make us a God. Now, I'm going to preach to you men here today. I need to finish up, but can I tell you something? Do you know the best thing you can tell people? Something that took me a while to learn. No! See, God's people, sometimes we need to learn how to say no. The world and your friends want to take you places that you ought not be, that'll destroy your alliances with God, and not just your alliance, but your allegiance. Hey, can I tell you today, it's time that God's people stood up and said no to some things. Amen. All this happened in the book, and they accepted God's will and his commandments, and then they accepted corruption. And you know what God wanted to do? Just what I think he ought to have done. Killed them. But he's good, isn't he? And you know what? Every one of them sorry people that were down at the bottom that deserved to die, they had a man of God on top of the mountain. That even though he wasn't with them, he had a God, and he was in tune with him. And God said, listen, I'm going to kill them all and make a brand new nation out of you, Moses. And Moses stood between God and his people and said, God, don't do that. Oh, God. He fell on his face before God. Oh, God, don't do that. You're going to, listen, you brought them out, and it's going to be a bad reputation before the Egyptians. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. A man of God prayed for them. And can I tell you what the result of that is? When God's man had gotten God to calm down and not build his hot wax, and listen, God would have been righteous in his indignation in killing those people. Guess what happened? When God's man got up from defending them, whoo, he went to deal with them. It didn't mean it was over. You know, some people believe that God's man don't love them when he preaches hard at them. You know, some people believe that God's man isn't what he ought to be when he gets up and he hollers a little bit. And some people don't believe God's man is what he ought to be when he says no. But if he's the man of God that he ought to be, he'll be saying no a lot more than he'll be saying yes. Amen, Brother Parsons. Because he's got a higher allegiance. His allegiance isn't to make you happy. It's to do right by the book and by his God. Can I tell you today, 3,000 people. The people were naked. I read all kinds of commentators as I was studying for this. And so, they weren't really naked. They were, they just had their armor off. That's why it talks about he made them. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, I believe the Bible, and naked is naked. That means they didn't have their clothes on. And I'm going to tell you, as a Christian, before you take your clothes off, if you're a warrior, you take your armor off before you take your clothes off. And so most of you that got a problem with taking your clothes off took your Christian armor off a long time ago. And listen here, put on your clothes and then put on your Christian armor and you won't have to worry about taking your clothes off. And everybody will know who you are. You won't be trying to fit in anymore. They'll know you're a soldier in the Lord's army. They'll know who you are when you walk up. When they see you in Walmart, man, that is a nice skirt. Where you must be going to Landmark. Hey, man, I get that. Everybody thinks I manage everything, not just at Landmark, but when I go to Sam's, I wear a tie, and people go, where is this? Because they think that I work there, because nobody dresses up anymore. When I go to Walmart, everybody thinks I manage the joint. Where is the pepper? I don't know. Come on, and let's go find it. Amen. Amen. Can I tell you, we live in a day and age where God's people need to dress like God's people so people will identify who you are. Give your allegiance to God and keep it there. And the 3,000, we were talking because Restorathon's coming up, and I thought this was neat. I hope you don't care that I'm going to take this time. It'll help me along the way. But go to Acts chapter 2, if you would, with me. We talk about something called Restorathon math, and it's weird because things calculate out. You don't really plan it that way, but all of a sudden, boom, the figures work out. But just like God here, 3,000 men, God said, Moses said, get on the Lord's side. And then the people, you know how they could identify who wasn't? Because one tribe stood up for God. Some of them went back to their tent and fell on their face undoubtedly and tried to get right with the holy God. But a bunch of Levites put their sword on because a bunch of people stayed naked. And if they didn't get right, they got gone. And you know what usually happens at a good church? People that won't get right will get gone. Because the sword, not the man of God, not the workers of God, but the sword is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And every time they come and the preacher preaches, it cuts them. Boy, you know what? The preacher, I know my preacher, this preacher that's preaching to you today, we don't want that. We'd rather you listen and be pricked in the heart by the word of God. And rather be cut to bleed out, we'd rather you be cut and fall in front of a holy God and say, I'm sorry. Be pricked in the heart by the words, not the sword. Today, in Acts chapter 2, I need to get there. But Acts chapter 2, the Bible says this. There's a different account of 3,000 souls that pass from death unto life, not from life unto death. And this group of people were Jews, just like the group we read about. And this group that we're talking about, boy, you may have heard this verse before, but it means something different to me now as I think about Restorathon math and how 3,000 in the Old Testament died and 3,000 in the New Testament. See, Peter's preaching at Pentecost. Let me read verse 38, if you will let me. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But all that was preached, and he said, for the promise is unto you and to your children. You see, that group in the Old Testament had some promises made to them, and they made some promises to God. But when the going got tough, it wasn't really that tough. It was just 40 days. They turned tail and took their allegiances. And he says, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are afar off. That includes me and you, friend. And I'm so thankful it is. And many, as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Can I tell you today, 3,000 souls came to Christ that day because when they heard the preaching of God's word, rather than staying and saying, you know what, I like this worldly worship better than I like the real worship. Boy, I like this worldly way. I like not having to have my clothes on better than I do liking to have, my clothes off rather than I like my clothes on. I mean, we could go through that. But can I tell you today that God's people here, that same Israelites, when given the option, life in heaven or death, they chose life. He said, save yourself. It's the same thing. Who's on the Lord's side, I ask you today? With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, I want to tell you a story before we start our invitation. Because maybe you're here and you need to get right, or maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. At the close of World War II, the British government had 18,000 soldiers that had gone derelict of duty. They were deserters. They were deserters. They had left. There were some 18,000 men that were on this list. And the government of Britain gave them an open opportunity to report for duty and to get it right, and with leniency, with great leniency. The war was over, and they wanted these men to come home and be restored. The expiration date of that was March 31st, 1947. Can I tell you? 1,300 men showed up to take the offer. 18,000 men were offered leniency, forgiveness by the government for deserting their post, and 1,300 men took them up on the offer. Can I tell you today, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, Jesus is offering you a way to get to heaven. He's offering you forgiveness of your sins and a home in heaven if you'll just simply accept Him and receive Him as your Savior. The sad fact is, so many times, the offer's to everyone in the world, but only a few accept. Today, if you're like that and you know you're lost, and you know that you know that you're lost, and if you died today, you'd go to hell. Boy, don't wait another moment. Would you come and be saved today? With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand? The piano's going to begin to play. If you're like that this morning, maybe you're a Christian and your allegiances have gotten out of whack and you want to come and pray, would you come? I'm going to meet you in the front. If you'll come and you're unsaved, would you come and take my hand and say, Brother Parsons, I need to receive Christ. Brother Burke, will you sing?
Just as